Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Great. Excited. We're playing an SEC team this week. No. And I'm just excited we're playing a game. I mean, a few days ago, we were worried if we were even going to be playing a game this weekend. The political version, but we're not going there today, so.
Let's start there, though. Do you think that'll be a distraction? Will it hurt or help the Missouri Tigers?
You could talk me in either way. I think overall it will be a distraction, though. That, you know, as NFL teams are so big on, they don't care what it is. They just hate distractions. This for sure will be – that's what they're getting asked about all week. That's what they're getting – text about from their friends back home. It'll be a distraction, which I think helps our cause.
They're not thinking about the Cougars. And it's not really, BYU is not the best team to be a little distracted against, right? It's not fun to play against BYU. You remember when we were the Dirty Cougs, like after 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, that's kind of gone away, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's gone away.
Yeah. You know what hasn't gone away is the bad taste in my mouth from that San Jose game. They play up for us, and we play down for them. Jeejo, Pijo. That was the only game this year that after a win, I had the feeling as if we lost.
Yeah. The UConn game wasn't that fun either. It was kind of a grind. Like at the end.
But we ended strong. This game, we ended just with a pitter-patter.
Well, we call those Ernest Hemingway games here. Of course, he famously said that there's no greater thrill that a man can have than to be shot at and missed. and the Cougars were shot at and missed.
Yeah.
And they missed a field goal. That two-point conversion was... Tosh and I actually watched the game together, and I was flipping out at the play call by the San Diego State coach. I could not believe that on his two-point conversion, he went for a halfback pass.
It was a bold move. It almost worked. But I just think your playmakers were your tight end who they threw it to, but throw it to him using the quarterback and your running back, Irvin, let that guy just see if he could pick up a couple yards.
Yeah.
But anyway, their misfortune was our gain. And in the end, close losses count. I mean, close wins count just as much as a big win. And still got the win.
He's doing the win is a win.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just, there were issues with that team. For instance, they couldn't run the football.
BYU couldn't run the football.
BYU could not
run
the football against San Jose State. San Jose State.
Remember, we had that same concern at the beginning of the year. When we were the Dirty Cougs, we used to not be able to run the ball. And then lately, everyone's forgotten that. We've just ran like crazy, but we just could not buy a yard in the running game.
So, obviously, they played with four different offensive linemen against San Jose State. Tejan Karoma was out.
That's the reason.
Injury related, but also then three of the other offensive linemen were out due to injury. So the bye week strikes again with Karoma. and so we have to assume, right? Since there isn't an maybe grades, who knows, right?
The other thing of mystery there is he traveled with the team, which is not normal for suspensions.
He was on the sideline.
It was a weird situation. But Tejan, I am convinced, is on our current roster our most important player. And that when he plays, he wins his battle at the offensive line. He's a great, you know, captain of that ship, which is the offensive line. When he's not in there, you see a whole different push on who's winning that battle, which is huge. Which the running game, the running backs get all the glory, but a good running attack is all the offensive line.
Sure.
And we need that to be better because Missouri's defense is at a whole different stratosphere than the San Jose defense that we sucked against.
Yeah, in an unbelievably different place. But to support your point, Sean Alexander used to buy his offense when he lead the league in rushing. He'd buy his offensive line all new cars.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think Algie, after he gets like a 200-yard rushing game, what do you think he'll do for his O-line?
What if he bought them all new cars? That would be... It's probably more like in the BYU scene, maybe, a meal from the Creamery. Maybe a kid's meal from the Creamery.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Algie's got Dining Plus, so he can just like swing it.
It's on me, boys.
Anyway, Missouri, far more talented. If you want a Missouri football for 2015 doppelganger, think no further than the BYU 2012 team, if you recall. Riley Nelson's a senior. He has a broken back. We keep playing him. We had Taysom Hill that year.
Taysom's injured, though.
He gets injured. And then they also went with James Lark that year, finally, at the end. So that, I think we all know what year we're talking about. Also, Kyle Van Noy and Ezekiel Ansah are destroying. Matamaliuna, Ogletree. I'm just shouting names.
Hadley.
Sorensen. I mean, they had a lot of
Bills
on that team. Bills.
Yeah.
Okay. So that defense, if you remember, was absolutely stout, and they were monsters. And that offense was absolutely horrible.
How I would really sum it up to add to that, I feel like that season, every game we played, our defense was better than their defense. But you could also argue every game we played that year that the other team's offense was better than our offense. That's the exact same thing with this year's Missouri team. I think their defense is better than every single team they've played, but their offense has been worse than every FBS school that they have played.
Absolutely. And you know, to back up some of that, one of the things that we'll look at is this. So they're scoring offense this year. They have one touchdown in the last four games. They broke their scoreless without a touchdown streak last week against Mississippi. They finally got in the end zone. But Tosh, these guys, they do not score touchdowns. They are a 128th nationally in touchdowns scored. They've only scored 13 this year through nine games. Okay. So they are dead last in the entire country at scoring touchdowns.
Do you remember that mighty UConn team that we played?
I do remember UConn.
So Missouri beat UConn, but the score was 9-6.
Right.
They did not score a single touchdown against UConn, and they played UConn in Missouri.
Yeah.
And so that is what should give you a taste of this game. And don't let that think that we should not have some fear of this Missouri team. Their defense should strike fear in us. But their offense so far has been inept would be, I think, the word to use.
The offense is absolutely ridiculous. They started out, they scored 34. Maybe this is when they only scored 34 against Southeast Missouri State. Right?
Yeah.
And then they did 27 at Arkansas State, 9 versus Connecticut, 13 versus Kentucky, 10 versus South Carolina, 3 versus Florida, 6 versus Georgia, 3 versus Vanderbilt, 13 last week against Mississippi State. So their season high in points against a FBS team is 27 points. Not to go all 10 for Tosh on you, but Cougars over or under giving up 27 points.
Under. BYU will hold them well under. We're a lot better defense than Arkansas State, who is the team they scored 27 on. Are we even sure Arkansas State is FBS? I think they are. But that's it's in that question mark range, though.
You're such an elitist. trying to act like they don't. Similarly, though, now let's talk about. We keep saying how amazing that Missouri defense is, but let's quantify it a little bit. They have only given up 15 touchdowns defensively this year. That is good. They're tied for third nationally in that number. Their points per game that they're giving up defensively, they're fourth in the nation. They're giving up 14.6 points per game. Do you think Cougars go above or under that average, 14.6?
Above. We are, from looking at it from like an offensive ratings perspective, we're the best offense they've faced. You obviously, strength of schedule could play into that in our favor or to some of the teams they've played against disadvantage. But either way, we are, without a doubt, one of the better offensives they've played this year. But their defense has some guys that should strike fear into us. That BYU fans are well aware of how awesome Bronson Cafusi has seemed this year.
Yes.
The biggest reason...
He's been great.
Totally.
And it's one of the biggest mysteries of last year is the fact
it just
that
puts in
why did they pull
what
him off
the heck
the
were we doing last
why
year?
Did they pull him off the line?
This year he has been. I agree, he's been great. He has 7 sacks so far during the season.
That's a great number.
Here's the thing. Missouri has 2 players on their D line that already have 7 sacks. That names wise, that they've got Charles Harris and Walter Brady, both of which have 7 sacks. They are ferocious is the best word. They really don't have a weakness. Their linebackers are great. Their corners are great. Look for a guy. I like this guy's name. His first name is Kenya.
Yeah.
Kenya Davis is, sorry, Kenya Dennis. He is a playmaking corner who I am scared of this defense. Like I've said that multiple times. All by their playmakers, but also their style of play.
Well, and the other guy, they have one of those linebackers that makes plays like kind of, you remember UCLA's Miles Jack?
Yeah.
You remember, we're going to play one with Utah State with the linebacker there, Fackrell. Yeah, and then, anyway, but this guy's better than Fackrell. Kentrell Brothers is another guy. He wears number 10. He is all over the place. He reminded me, I was watching him against Mississippi State, and he was sort of doing like Troy Polamalu type stuff. He's covering ground like wild.
And
he was awesome. So Kentrell Brothers, another guy to watch out for on that line. Like you said, Harris, he wears 91, Walter Brady, 56.
So they do a lot of
shutdown corner, right?
Yeah, their corners are great. They got 2 shutdown corners, and their style of play is press man-to-man with their corners with safeties over the top. Historically, what style of defense has given BYU the most trouble? This exact style.
Right.
You know, when we've had bad games against Utah, it's when they run that defense effectively. When we got embarrassed against Michigan this year, that's why. Their press corners were just kicking our butts.
We scored 0 points against Michigan.
So it can't get any worse. That's Robert and I yesterday said that Missouri's defense is better than Michigan's.
Really?
Which made me think, is he predicting a negative point output?
Nah, come on. He's got to be playing psychic
games. Oh, yeah, for sure. Statistically.
Get his guys to go to sleep on time. Get his guys to study a little harder.
I think Michigan's defense is slightly better, and the stats would overall back that up, that they're slightly better, but they're in the same conversation. This Mizzou's defense is right up there in the same conversation as Michigan.
Michigan's number one.
Yeah, as best. But they're both in the conversation of who's the best defense in the country.
Absolutely.
Now let's switch to the side of the ball. We smile when we talk about. Let's talk about their offense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there isn't really a whole lot to talk about. We saw their obviously, that you know, Matty Mock was a good quarterback for them. He's been suspended. He's out for the year. He's, you know, he's one of these guys in and out and in and out of the program. Yeah, kind of like Sione Takitaki version, except for at Missouri, and I think, anyway. I won't go any further than that. Matty Mock has been a problem. So instead, playing at quarterback is?
Drew Locke. Here's some Drew Locke stats. So we have a decent sample size. I mean, he's thrown 178 passes this year. He's completed less than half of them.
Wait a second. He has less than 50% completion.
Correct.
That is unheard of.
He has now, five interceptions.
With the amount of short routes thrown to your running backs, with the amount of bubble screens that are run in today's college football, to complete less than half of your passes, that's really something.
And it's not because he's the master of the deep ball. Like, he's only averaging 4 yards an attempt.
Four?
Yeah. 4.8. I'm just going off that first number. It's 4.8, okay. So pretty close to five.
But still.
Still terrible.
Well, but everyone was like flipping out. You know, Travis Wilson at Utah is 6.1 an attempt.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, that's atrocious and that's bad. So anyway, yes, 4.8 is bad.
And he has five picks, only three touchdowns. He's thrown the ball 178 times and only gotten three touchdowns out of that. So
it doesn't matter what your system is. Every defense becomes a bend, don't break defense against Missouri.
Yeah. And their passing game, which I think this lines up nicely for us, our weakness defensively, you could say, is the teams that can pick us apart through the air. But they have not proven to be able to do that. If their offense has a strength, it's that they've had some running backs that have been able to put up some decent yards. But what happens commonly, they'll break off a big run and they still don't end up putting it in the end zone. Last week, they had a 78-yard rushing play on a drive that ended up in 0 points.
Right.
But a couple guys, you know, they have Ish Witter. Is a good running back for him. There's also a guy, Tyler Hunt, that I'm hearing is going to get more time. That he's been mainly their third down back this year, but they're looking to play him a lot more against the Cougs.
Why not mix it up?
They got to be mixing it up.
Try some other,
yep.
You know, combos. You know, the big thing that indicates to me, Tosh, is the Cougars cannot be a slow starting team. And that's what they've been all year. They've been a good closing fourth quarter team. Now, last week was kind of an exception, but they started great and then fell apart. It was like they thought they had won it in the first quarter, and then it went downhill from there. But the point is I kind of think that they've got to come out and get a lead and knock Missouri behind early, take away, make them, force them to throw more. You know, if they get in third and threes or whatever, we want them to throw instead of run. And when you're trailing by a couple scores and it's the second half, you're going to have to start passing. And,
yep.
And we want to put the game into the arm of that Missouri quarterback. So I think that will be very critical to this game. It's not only – there's always the stuff, field position and time of possession and turnover margin. Like all those things, it's nice to have those things go well for you. But, you know, it will really help the Cougars in this one is a couple score first quarter lead. And, by the way, BYU, not good. Not good at extending their leads.
No.
Really bad at extending their leads this year.
What we've been great at is being comeback kids.
Right.
But really, it would sure help to put the pressure on their quarterback for us to get an early lead this Saturday.
Boy. So that is kind of what we're thinking on this game. Any special team variation to be aware of? Their kickers, I think, has done just fine this year. He's not a bad kicker.
Yeah, he's almost 80%. It's not like last week where, and sure enough, we predicted a miss. I thought there'd be more misses, but
there wasn't as many kicks.
Exactly, and they doinked one just as we predicted. This,
thank goodness.
This guy has not missed any extra points, and he's, you know, 76% from field goals. And they're not afraid to have him even take 50-plus yarders. So this guy's got a leg.
And BYU on kickoff coverage and punt coverage need to be awesome. You can't – they've been really pretty good this year. But they cannot allow long returns. Short fields against this Missouri offense, that is certain death. Those are things that you can't allow. You can't allow big special teams plays. And also – and this is the last point I'll make on this. Let's talk about that Missouri defense one more time. But again, recall that 2012 BYU defense. One of the coolest parts about watching that team that year was that the defense knew that their offense was not good. And so they played with an intensity and focus that only happens when that kind of happens.
They had to not just stop them, they had to make plays.
They had to make plays because you have to get good field position. You have to score. And there's been teams that have had that. You know, I've seen like Steelers defenses in the NFL that have done these things, that are Ravens defenses, when they know that the offense isn't going to be able to produce the way that they hope, that defense begins playing for big plays. And anyway, I just feel like, man, I'm scared. I'm scared that defense is going to be able to make a few big plays here or there. Do you think we'll see another kind of – Tanner Mangum, I think his hamstrings aren't quite right.
He hasn't looked quite as sharp since that injury.
He kept reaching down and feeling them. He'd get hit and he'd be touching the bottom of his thigh. And he, I think they were bothering him because the pick six that he threw, it was so far off.
It was weird. I'm still not sure if it was a wrong route or because it was weird. It was to the defender.
The touchdown pass he threw that Mitch Matthews happened to bring in was still a bad pass. Like, it was so far behind Matthews, he happened to catch it. But are we sure that he's right? I mean, obviously, he's going to go, and he's our best opportunity to win.
Yeah.
But you cannot miss a guy by 2 or 3 yards against this Missouri team.
Make you pay. In fairness to him, he had some great passes in the San Jose game, too. But I agree with you. I don't think he's looked the same since those injuries. This is 8 days later, though. So hopefully, I think he's even going to look healthier this week than he did last week.
Mississippi State was effective against Missouri defense when they went downfield. That they dinking and dunking against Missouri will not work. They're going to have to look downfield. They're going to have to risk it and throw the ball up there and go and tell their 6'5 receivers to go and make a play or two. And so they have to do that. Have to do that. And you said Michigan, and now it's messing up my brain entirely because are the receivers even going to like
get off the line? No, so it's a fear. It's a big
Tanner
fear.
Give them a chance to throw it up there and give them a chance to go get it.
I sure as heck hope so. They can't lay another egg. Like, they got to know, and I know they know. I've heard even, the interviews that I've heard from the players lately, they know that they're going to face press coverage. So hopefully they are game planning better this week to not have that same just epic receiving core collapse that we had against Michigan.
They were really bad at hand fighting in that game.
That's an understatement. They were sissies at hand.
They lost every single battle.
Yes.
The line of scrimmage. And that just cannot happen, period. And so it'll be interesting.
One. I think that they'll get one, but I don't see them lighting us up. Our defense is pretty dang good. And against San Jose State, that's something that our defense only gave up really not very many points because of the pick six and the drive that they only gave up one touchdown, and that was very much helped by a few penalties, that some of which were questionable more than others. But anyway, our defense is going to play well, only give up one touchdown. Whew. Two. I don't think it's more than two, but two's not good. One pick and one fumble in a close game, yes. I'm going to go one special team fake overall. I'm just being humble. There will be one special team fake overall.
So question number four.
And I hope you guys noticed how giant his coat was. It was like a tent. And I felt bad for Bronco. Looked sick. His face was pale. Every other coach is wearing a t-shirt, and Bronco is wearing a 4XL coat on the sideline. So in answer to your question, he did. I think he's keeping it warm for him. And he will not be sick this week, but he'll be back to his shirts. But again, keep an eye out for his shirt size. Who knows? It could go either way this time of year. I bet yet. Bronco used to be that guy. He used to be shorts all the time guy when he was defensive coordinator. In the snow at practice, he'd be wearing shorts. Maybe that's why he is gone the other way now to compensate. Yeah, like a sweater. He would always wear a sweater no matter how hot it was. Yeah.
Question number five. So the answer for how sick he would be is not there.
Correct.
Question number five. Does Tanner Mangum have the most difficult name to say in
the fact is yes. Against mind-blowing, but that we have players, and there's players in college football with very hard to pronounce Polynesian names, with native African names, but no player in the nation has got his name screwed up more than Tanner Mangum, than Tyler Magnum. Like, his first name and last name have been screwed up at different times pretty much in every game. Gets cut the guy some slack. All right. But heaven forbid they say Tanner Mangum correctly. Yes, we already probably have that record. Anyone who's watched BYU play the last couple years, but even so for sure this year, we lead the country in our receivers begging for PI calls. And especially when a team presses us and is physical like Missouri, look for our players to be begging for shocking amount of PI calls. Or like trying to raise the away crowd with the hands thrown up in the air. No, they're begging for PI calls. Yes. Well, I'm gonna go push. It's gonna be. That's like we're gonna be right there, because if we can only score 17 with a field goal in the second half against San Jose's defense, I am worried about what our offense will be able to do scoring-wise against Mizzou. And realize here, we are in this question just throwing out the Michigan game, because the answer is that we have blocked that from our minds. But in any game that we scored, we will be back to that sort of level. Two. It's hard.
The Remington thing is so weird. Here's a guy that Michigan was playing.
Yes. Played defensive line his entire career. He started a lot, like almost every game last year. Yeah. Yeah. Samson. Different receiver for that. Yeah. But the answer to your question is he will have two more receptions this week. The play they ran was a great play. Like, he was wide open. No one's expecting it, and he's more athletic than he looks, but he's, but like you mentioned, he's pretty overweight. He's the size of a D end right now. Of a 3-4 D end. Yeah. No, in a radio interview, he feels like his tight end weight is around 215, 220, and his current weight is 265. I think the real answer to your dilemma is that I think this is just a bye week. We needed a week off for him to implement some plays with the tight end. And Remington Peck happened just to be the lucky beneficiary of being in the right place at the right time, coming off of a bye week. Yeah, so far his stats would prove that to be true. I'm going to go with a basketball player will outscore BYU's football team. That I think we'll have BYU's basketball has guys get 20 in their sleep nowadays. And so we will, yes, basketball player will outscore the football team this week. At the gathering in Independence, the Cougars perform well. You kind of get what they're doing there, right? It was a little subtle, but there we go. Should be a fun place to watch a football game.
The more important gathering in Independence, of course, will be on Friday night for Broncos.
Probably Kansas City Joe's Barbecue. You know, that would shock everybody. If there's so many church sites they could do it, but Bronco decides we're doing it at the barbecue joint. Oh, yeah. It used to be called Oklahoma Joe's. It's like world famous. Oh, I love... If you're going out there, if any of our listeners are going out there, you need to try. You will be doing yourself a huge disservice if you don't go to Kansas City Joe's Barbecue. Bam Bam's is great, but Bam Bam's is more Texas barbecue, and my favorite barbecue in the mecca of barbecue for me is Kansas City. Okay. I've never had it, but I would put it up against Kansas City's and bet on Kansas City all day, every day. Sounds like a passionate one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Brunker was the one that left it there in California. I mean, he was there last week, right. But it's cool she found it, and we just let the cat out of the bag that
sounds,
you guys...
Sounds to me that Bronco just learned how to hide his friends that are being idiots on Facebook.
I don't know what you're even referring to.
You don't really?
No.
Oh, on Facebook, if there are people you don't want to see what they're posting, but you don't want to unfriend them, you can hide their posts.
Oh, okay.
So you never see them. So Bronco's going to be given a lesson about how to silence fiends.
Oh, I'm with you now. Okay. So yeah, it's a Facebook awareness. Well, maybe that was just over my head, but I get it.
You can mute people on Twitter also. I wonder if Bronco found that out. And that's why he's giving...
That's the subcontext of this Fireside Talk is social media safety / lack avoiding annoyance.
Avoiding people with thoughtless takes. All right, this is a quick take on that, by the way. By the way, okay, if you find Ashley, if you find the Bronco Fireside Talk around, let us know where you found it. And what the title of the talk is, we will send you a CougarCast sticker. She is the winner of this week's sticker, and she will proudly sport that CougarCast sticker up in Utah State territory.
Nice.
Can I rant for a second?
Go for it. Doesn't matter my answer, but either way, listeners want to hear your rant.
All right. All I'll say is this, and I promise to try to keep this as short as I can because it's not related to very much, but here it is. Back in the day, our parents, our grandparents, they grew up with the attitude of it's not polite, right, to discuss politics, religion, or sex, mm-hmm. right, in public forums or whatever, right? Unless it's the right venue for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk about those things. There's a lot of other things to kind of cover. Anyway, that is sort of what we are supposed to do to be polite and respectful and all this other stuff. That notion is out the window.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
100%. A lot of people love talking about those things on their social media, their Facebook, and they're so thoughtless about it. It's unbelievable. All right, that's my rant. I just think if you're going to talk about those things and you're going to force it on somebody else, please be thoughtful.
At least be tactful.
At least, listen, your point of view doesn't have to, like, fit with everybody else. I'm not sure that it's, like, a great place to, like, I don't think Facebook's, like, the right venue for you to really mm-hmm. handle that. But, especially because you're probably sharing somebody else's point of view and going, yeah, ditto. I just think sensitive topics... Just be a little thoughtful about it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think there's pros that come from our generation's take on it, but I agree with you that it can become a mess real quick, too.
There's the venue. There's a right venue for it. Back, I guess I'm old school, Tosh.
You are.
I don't want people to be doing that anymore. I get tired of it.
All right. You're not going to change it. But
I'm not going to change it. But
you might be becoming the old man.
I'm not a fan of it. So I know Bronco figured out that he can mute friends and stuff like that. But I just unfriend people.
Jeesh.
I feel like it's a better statement. Makes me feel happier.
All right.
Do you ever unfriend people?
No. No. But what
it makes me so happy to do it, man. It's awesome. It makes my heart smile.
But I have been, we're getting really off here. What I have been guilty of is I am the guy that if I am doing a controversial post, I will make custom set it so that it only shows up on the feeds of people that I know aren't going to argue back with me and take it out of hand. So
you block certain
I will, yeah, they don't know it, but there's people right. out there that aren't getting my edgier posts if I think that they're going to battle me on it because I don't want, or I'll start deleting people's posts. Like we could have a whole podcast on because we are both outspoken.
But what I'm saying is like, I think it's okay to have an opinion. Obviously there's just certain venues to have that opinion. And when you throw it on your Facebook, A, it's not an effective way to share your opinion. Number one. And number two, you're sharing it with a bunch of people who don't want to hear it. We want to see the pictures of your cats and babies. We want to see that you are traveling the world and all this stuff. I don't want to see that you ran into some person's blog and you have no idea what they're talking about. You're just going to thoughtlessly pass it along and co-sign it, right? Tosh, you are the king of, you don't necessarily say amen at the end of every prayer.
That's true, too.
Yeah, I've talked to you about this before.
I only say amen if I agree with what was said. Yes.
Yeah. You see it as a way of authorizing it. Anyway, if you share any of that stuff, you're kind of wrong. And I just kind of think that you're being probably, it's likely that it's not being really a thoughtful, anyway. So that's it.
This week, but I'm not going with any of those. None of those ones that might be popping up that are motivating some of our listeners. Yeah, I have got to take this week's reason to hate a little easy. But here is my reason to hate. What? Yes, this will get them nasty. What is burning in the belly of every fan and player is we know we have been ripped off on conference realignment. That somehow we have become too much with the have-nots. You know who has benefited the most from conference realignment? The dirty Missouri football team. Or school. Yes, out of any team out there, they are a team geographically that was west of the Mississippi that was always kind of looked at as a below average BCS conference team. And somehow they end up in the mightiest conference in the land. That somehow, how now they are in the most powerful conference in the country, Missouri. How did that happen? I'm not sure. Out of all the Big 12 teams they could have got, why'd they choose Missouri? I am not sure. If I was them, I would be happy. But as a jealous man who wants to be in the Power 5 conference, that is this week's reason to hate. Yes? I will never get over it. This is something that I want on my gravestone that BYU was screwed in conference realignment. Correct? But we could too. Give us the dang chance. No, it will not. That might be a parody statement there. Jeez. Probably because of the drama this week, they think it will be a distraction.
So, that's the big conundrum. I think Rise to the occasion, show that they are important. It was worth, you know, it was worth getting rid of Tim Wolf, right, in order to be able to play this football. Because if they go out and lose, then it's like, okay. The point is, I think they're going to be motivated, and for whatever reason, I just have this fear that BYU is going to be one of the greats football teams. And so I worry about that. I think that the Tigers are going to win. And I think the final score of this game is going to be 27-17.
Well, we are on the same page on one thing, and that is BYU's score. But I think that this will be one of those games that I actually love watching defensive football. Most people don't. I think this will be a Tosh defensive football week. I think that we have...
favorite game all time, BYU 6, Utah State 3, right?
I loved that game.
Yeah, you've been begging me to try to put together an oral history.
You know what game? You know what game I actually...
10,000-word oral history.
I loved the game... Boise State, where we lost in the 2-point conversion. I hated the ending. I loved watching that game. Our defense was like wowing me. This is going to be a defensive wowing game, but BYU has the guys to pull it off. Oh, yeah. He loves it. Yeah. No, he loves defense, no doubt. He shows his kids. When his home teachers come over, let me show you guys a video. You guys know what I do for a living? Let me show you a video. Yeah. No, I don't think I know. It's just like we could go 10 for 10. This is a fact. So BYU will win this game 17-16. This is going to be a close one to the end. We will have stress all the way to the last moment, but BYU will pull it out 17-16 because we have proven all year we win. We are very capable of winning close games, and we'll do it again. Did I have Missouri scores one touchdown and three field goals? Yes. And most of those points are because their defense gave them short fields.
Whose offense is better or worse? San Jose State or Missouri?
Missouri's is worse.
Yeah.
Missouri's offense is worse than San Jose's, but their defense is tremendously better. That's the dichotomy of this team.
Well, it should be an interesting game nonetheless, and it certainly was on edge of maybe not happening. Not practicing on Sunday will not affect BYU one bit at all.
Nope.
And may really kind of mess up some of the game planning for Missouri, or maybe they'll find that resting on the Sabbath is a good way to go.
Make that as a Facebook post, Keith.
Regardless, we appreciate you listening. Apologize. I guess I'm getting old. The show will change its title to Listen to Two Men Become Older. As anyway, thank you for rating us on iTunes and sharing this podcast with your friends. Share it on Facebook. There you go. There's something. That's a good venue for you to do it. But anyway, let us know how we're doing. Email us at CougarCast@gmail.com. Congratulations to Ashley. You can get the next CougarCast sticker if you find Broncos Fireside Talk out there in the world. What is he cooking up for his Fireside Talk for Fresno State? Also, any other thing, you don't have to just send us that. You know, if you have things that you want to talk about, let us know. All right. Anything else, Tosh?
Nope. Should be a barn burner. Just I'm glad it's in a good time of the day. A lot better than last week's, but should be a fun week. This is my favorite time of year when BYU basketball is having real games during the football season. I'm stoked for this weekend.
Thank you for listening to Cougar Cast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on vanquishthefoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games and go Cougars!